This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician. Jenny hit Austin. My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you worldwide in beautiful high-definition audio from Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in beautiful Fort Worth, Texas. Check out our new ad. We got a big quarter-page ad in the new Best in Texas. Proud of that. Me, P2, sitting at the board. Playing a 72 Deluxe Fender Telecaster Vintage Guitar. Oh, we do it all for you folks. Call me, 817-733-5256. Book your session now. Or if you just got some tracks you recorded and you want to mail me a hard drive to mix and put overdubs on, we do that as well. Recording is what we do. How you doing, everybody? Great to hear you. Have you here again, folks, on the P2 Podcast. Phil here. Sitting here at the desk in Trinidad World Recording Studios, checking over the news, looking at what's in the news. Man, are you following this Gibson guitar story? Goodness gracious, what a disaster. You've probably heard about it, you know, seen the headlines on your internet news page or read about it somewhere. For those of y'all in the dark, Gibson guitars, making fine guitars there in Nashville, Tennessee. I think they moved there. Have they always been in Nashville? I think they just moved there like maybe 15 years ago, something like that. That might not be right. I apologize, but don't think they were always there. But Gibson, Nashville, Tennessee, making guitars. And one day, who is it? Guess what? The feds, man. Armed federal agents coming. It's come swooping into Gibson guitars. Everybody out. There's like, what's going on? No warning, nothing. They put all the employees out in the parking lot. They start confiscating computers, confiscating wood, you know, back in the factory. Come to find out, there's some wood that Gibson had been importing. I think it was from India. That might not be right. It was India, Indonesia, somewhere. I'm pretty sure it was India. They've been importing a certain kind of wood that they use in their guitars. That the federal government said was a protected species or something like that. So, man, just big stuff going on there, man. All kinds of lawsuits flying around. Gosh. Oh, man. So, of course, much legal wrangling is now ensuing. Gibson saying that they had all the required paperwork and trade permits and all the stuff you need to trade with another country. And it's something weird to where the tree in question, I can't remember what kind of tree it was, you know, some type of wood from a tree over there. It wasn't considered by the United States as an endangered species of tree or protected tree, but it was considered that in India. And maybe India wasn't enforcing the laws or something like that. So there's a lot of discussion there. But interesting stuff, man. So they were shut down. I don't know if they're still shut down or if they're operating under some sort of tight scrutiny. So if you're out there playing your Gibson guitar, man, Hey, keep them in your thoughts. Just in trouble with the feds. God, it's no wonder our economy's in the toilet. You got a factory down there making things people want, and the feds just kick your damn door down with guns, guns drawn. So be on the lookout out there when you hear a knock at your door. Goodness gracious. We hope that resolves itself in some way. Well, well, well. What else, man? What's in the old inbox here, Phil? You know I read Seth Godin, great writer, a champion of entrepreneur, you know, exploits and stuff like that. He always shares his thoughts. They're usually very short. You can subscribe to it's just SethGodin.com. You can get on his subscribe to his blog. It's free. It comes about once a day. Usually just a short little thought, but man, he kind of had a longish article here. I kind of wanted to go through with you. I thought it was really great, talking about the economy, the recession, and all this, and kind of how it relates to the entrepreneur out there, like me, and like some of you out there. So I read this with no good grief. Save the emails with no rubbing salt in anybody's economic wounds out there. A lot of people are out of work. It's a very, very tough environment out there for everybody. But I'm sharing this with you kind of as Seth. Seth's not a real political guy. He's more of just a business dude. Some of his stuff is very, kind of new age and feel goody. And then some of it's kind of more fiscally conservative, I guess you'd say. So it's sort of all over the map there. But he always has a lot of interesting analysis on things. And I'm reading this as hopefully something that's hopeful out of this whole thing for anybody out there, you know, sitting in their room with their computer just thinking the economy stinks. What am I going to do? I'm just one guy sitting here. I don't have a job at a factory or something. You know, I don't know. So this is what Seth has to say. The forever recession and the coming revolution, okay? He says, there are actually two recessions. The first one is the cyclical one, the one that inevitably comes and then inevitably goes. There's plenty of evidence that intervention can shorten it and also indications that overdoing a response to it is a waste or even harmful. The other recession, though, is the one with the loss of, quote, good factory jobs and systematic unemployment. And he says, I fear this recession is here forever. So Seth, they're saying that, you know, that these times aren't going to change back, you know, that the big factory, huge manufacturing jobs are just something that's not coming back. He continues, why do we believe that jobs where we are paid really good money to do work that can be systemized, written in a manual, and or exported are going to come back ever? The internet has squeezed inefficiencies out of many systems, and the ability to move work around, coordinate activity, and digitize data all combine to eliminate a wide swath of the jobs the industrial age created. He goes on, there's a race to the bottom, one where communities fight to suspend labor and environmental rules in order to become the world's cheapest supplier. The problem with the race to the bottom is that you might win. Factories were at the center of the industrial age, he's putting in some sort of historical context here. Factories were at the center of the industrial age, buildings where workers came together to efficiently craft cars, pottery, insurance policies, and organ transplants. These are job-centric activities. Places where local inefficiencies are trumped by the gains from mass production and interchangeable parts. If local labor costs the industrialist more, he has to pay it, because what choice does he have? It's true if you think about it. The industrial age, I mean, everything was being made in America. I mean, nothing was being made in China or India or Brazil. So his point here is just, you know, you got people working there. What are you going to do? If the costs go up, you got to pay it to keep your business going. But Seth, alas, goes on. No longer. If it can be systemized, it will be. If the pressured middleman can find a cheaper source, she will. If the unaffiliated consumer can save a nickel by clicking over here or over there, then that's what's going to happen. It was the inefficiency caused by geography that permitted local workers to earn a better wage, and it was the inefficiency of imperfect communication that allowed companies to charge higher prices. Interesting thought there. That, you know, just because we were the United States, bordered by oceans, you know, we couldn't email, we couldn't communicate with other countries as easily as we can now, orderings and stuff like that. So you just had the United States had its own little world over here, you know, during the industrial age, and some of the companies could just charge whatever they wanted. If their workers, you know, pay the workers more, etc. The industrial age, Seth goes on. The industrial age, the one that started with the Industrial Revolution, is fading away. It is no longer the growth engine of the economy, and it seems absurd to imagine that great pay for replaceable work is on the horizon. This represents a significant discontinuity, a life-changing disappointment for hard-working people who are hoping for stability but are unlikely to get it. It's a recession, the recession of 100 years of the growth of the growth of the industrial complex. Yikes! He goes on. I'm not a pessimist, though, because the new revolution, the revolution of connection, creates all sorts of new productivity and new opportunities. This is where it gets positive. Sit tight with me, folks. Sit tight with me here. Not for repetitive factory work, though, not for the sort of thing the ADP measures. Most of the wealth created by this revolution doesn't look like a job, not a full-time one anyway. Case in point, P2 sitting right here. I work all the time. So like, how long you work, Phil? I work every day, all day long. Whenever I'm awake, I'm working. Checking messages, email, phone, texts, whatever. But then on the other hand, I'm always sitting in my front yard with a guitar, drinking a beer. I don't know. So, you know, So I love that sentence there. Most of the wealth created by the revolution doesn't look like a job, not a full-time one anyway. That's what my job looks like. I've got that whole sentence down right there. Everything except the excessive wealth part. Working on that every day. Seth goes on. When everyone has a laptop and connection to the world, then everyone owns a factory. Instead of coming together physically, we have the ability to come together virtually, to earn attention, to connect labor and resources, to deliver value. True, true, true. Stressful? Of course it is. No one is trained in how to do this, in how to initiate, to visualize, to solve interesting problems, and then deliver. Some see the new work as a hodgepodge of little projects, a pale imitation of a real job. Others realize that this is a platform for a kind of art, a far more level playing field in which owning a factory isn't a birthright for a tiny minority, but something that hundreds of millions of people have the chance to do. Boy, I'm guilty, Phil, of that first part. Some see the new work as hodgepodge of little projects, a pale imitation of a real job. How often do you hear me complain on the podcast here, just going, God, just keep it up with my Twitter and my Facebook, and man, I work on a million, you know, that's just today's world, man. You got your computer. You got, you know, some little skill you do, like me. I play shows, I record bands, mix bands, all kinds of stuff. But man, I've done a lot of voiceover work. I've done some movie work. I've done jingle work. I've talked to talked to guys about doing sitting in on the podcasts. And sometimes it's hard to put that into context. Like, man, is this a real job? Am I a musician? What is this? It is, as Seth says, a hodgepodge of little projects. But that's really what the new world is all about. He goes on, gears are going to be shifted regardless. In one direction is lowered expectations and plenty of burger flipping. In the other is a race to the top in which individuals who are awaiting instructions begin to give them instead. The future feels a lot more like marketing. It's impromptu. It's based on innovation and inspiration. And it involves connections between and among people and a lot less like factory work in which you do what you did yesterday but faster and cheaper. Isn't that true? He goes on, this means we may need to change our expectations, change our training, and change how we engage with the future. Still, it's better than fighting for the status quo that is no longer. The good news is clear. Every forever recession is followed by a lifetime of growth from the next thing. And then he concludes, job creation is a false idol. I love that. What a true statement. Job creation is a false idol. The future is about gigs and assets and art and an ever-shifting series of partnerships and projects. Good grief, that describes me to a T. It will change the fabric of our society along the way. I'm trying to do that. No one is demanding that we like the change, but the sooner we see it and set out to become an irreplaceable linchpin, the faster the pain will fade. As we get down to work that needs to be, and now can be, done. This revolution is at least as big as the last one, and the last one changed everything. If you're home and unemployed, My sympathies, of course. But I wanted to read that for anybody out there who may be thinking, well, I could never start my own deal, or I need the security blanket. I think what this is saying, there is no security blanket. We're all just in this deal together. And, at least from my experience in this business, especially in the last 5 years, man, you look at my phone, there's so many people and numbers in there that maybe I worked with just for a very short time. I did that guy's record, and I got his number in there, and his, drummer who had called me, and man, we did this great project, and there's a million numbers in there and names of people who called me about, hey man, we might cover your song, Phil, or hey, we might be doing this movie, or we might be doing this commercial, or call me back, or hey, we're writing a musical, we might want you to do some. There's just tons of stuff, and some of them materialized into things that worked out for me and kept the doors open, so to speak, and a lot of them didn't work out, but I think what Seth is saying there very well and very poignantly is that you've just got to be able – you got to embrace sort of all these menial, seemingly hodgepodge of tasks, which is what we do here at Trinidad and what I do every day, working 24 hours a day, but at least you're sitting in the front yard reading your email, drinking some coffee or a cold beer. Enjoy. Start a business. Start a revolution with the laptop. Well, it's contest time. We talked about it last week. People have been sending in their submissions for the REM EP with me and Rodney Parker. We've already got several submissions. Very excited. There's still plenty of time to get your submissions in. Send them to Phil at philpritchett.com. Speaking of that EP that we are also eagerly anticipating the release, we're going to listen to a couple more of the tracks. We listened to a few last week. We're going to listen to a few more. So stay tuned. Coming up next. Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast from Trinidad World Recording Studios here in beautiful Fort Worth, Texas. Book the full band. We'll play in your backyard. Gosh, we've had some great private parties this year of all shapes and sizes. All you got to do is email Phil at philpritchett.com or call me 817-733-5256. Book the full band or come record at Trinidad World Recording. Check out our new ad in Best in Texas. Hey, you digging some of this weird, fluty sort of music we got going here? I got tons of stuff like this, man. A lot of this weird kind of, instrumental stuff. Kind of throwing it in here as the bumper music. Yeah? Yeah? Kind of cool, man, you know. Hopefully. Maybe some Blueprint Garage Volume 4 material. You know, little flute. I don't know what I'm going to call this one. Flute escapades, Irish lilt, something like that. Well, back to more commercial music, in a sense. Our old friend Rodney Parker and I made this REM EP coming out here very soon. Once we settle on a cover winner for the contest, send in your submissions, Phil at philpritchett.com. We did this song. Rodney wanted to do this. It's off the Green album. And this was a radical departure from the way REM originally did it. We did kind of a country version of this song. It's called You Are the Everything off the 1989 album Green by REM with Rodney on lead vocal. And then Phil, your own Phil Pritchett, coming in with a little harmony vocals in the back toward the end of the song. And shaking a little tambourine and just driving it home. Sometimes I feel like I can't even sing. Great tune here from REM with Rodney on lead vocal. You Are the Everything.
Sometimes I feel like I can't even sing. I'm very scared for this world. I'm very scared for me. Eviscerate your memory. Here's a senior in the backseat laying down. The windows wrap around you. The sound of travel and the engine All you hear is time stand still and travel. You feel such peace and absolute stillness still that doesn't end. Slowly drifts into sleep. Stars are the greatest you've ever seen, and they're there for you. For you alone, you are the everything. I think about this world a lot, and I cry, and I've seen the films and the eyes, but I'm in this kitchen. Everything is beautiful, and she is so beautiful. She is so young and old. I look at her and I see the beauty of the light of music. Voices talking in the house, maybe spring, and you're drifting off to sleep with your teeth and your mouth. You are here with me. You are here with me. You have been here, and you are everything. Eviscerate your memory. Here's a senior in the backseat, laying down, the windows wrapped around. You hear the sound of the travel in the engine. All you hear is time stand still and travel. Feel such peace and absolute stillness still that doesn't end, but slowly drifts to see. You are here with me. You are here with me. You have been here. You are the everything. You are the everything. You are the everything.
Right, all right. You are the everything. Isn't that nice? You know, we did one song off of Green called World Leader Pretend that we played last week. Kind of zany, had a little Moog synthesizer on there. Phil on lead vocal. You know, might send some country fans scurrying for the brush, scurrying for cover. So we come right back. Well, you throw that. You know, it's kind of like being a good pitcher in baseball. You can't just throw fastballs. You can't just throw changeups the whole time. You got to mix the pitches a little bit. You know, you got to have those ones that are kind of right down the middle. And then you kind of say, hey, let's not just throw another fastball here. Let's throw that knuckle change. Let's change up the speeds, you know. So that's what this stuff's all about. And I would argue all my albums are about. So that one going a little more down the middle there with a very nice countrified rendition of You Are the Everything. Nice singing there, Parker. Well done, my friend. Oh, I'm going to tell you this right now. Don't tell him I told you, but Max Stalling, y'all know Max Stalling out there. I'm just going to say this. I cannot reveal who the artist is, but we're thinking about doing some more of these Trinidad tribute EPs. And my old friend Max Stalling, I hadn't talked to him in a while, but we have been in talks about maybe he says, well, you know, I'll see what's going on. He was kind of interested in it. So, you know, there's a chance that he might come in and do one of these. Wouldn't that be fun? Country Max and Weird Synthesizer Guitar Phil. But we're good friends. Did a lot of touring together back in the day, a few years back. So, man, I'd love to get Max in here on something like this. And, man, you will not believe who he wanted, what band. I threw him a bunch of bands. I was like, hey, man, what about this and this and this and this? Or we could look at this. I threw him a bunch of ideas I thought he'd go for. Then he comes back to me with just, oh, I can't tell you. I can't even tell you. But you're not going to believe the band that he goes, you know what I want to do? This band. And I'm going to give you a big hint. It's not Willie Nelson or any kind of country band you would think associated with Max Starling. Very surprising. I was very shocked, but needless to say, ecstatic. The spirit of these Trinidad EPs is to pair me with an artist and then a band that we're covering. But unusual circumstances, you know, not just, you can't just get, Max and then do, you know, Towns Van Zandt. It's kind of, well, that's kind of an obvious, setup there. So, you know, you want to do REM, you don't want to do like a Texas country guy. You want to throw a band in there that maybe people aren't as familiar with. So when you say Max Starling, and I know you're thinking of all your bands out there, you might not be thinking of this one that we're kicking around the idea of doing. So stay tuned for that. Well, back to the business at hand here, the EP with Rodney Parker. REM. Some would argue REM's greatest record is Life's Rich Pageant. Hard to argue against it. This is one of the songs off that album, sung by yours truly, P2, here. Rodney comes in on the bridge very nicely. Well, I would keep it above, but then it wouldn't be sky anymore. Check it out. We tried to stay very faithful to the original rendition of this song from Life's Rich Pageant, Fall on Me. Check it out.
There's a problem. Feathers, iron, bark, and buildings, weights, and pulleys. Feathers hit the ground before the weight can leave the air. By the sky.
Me, what a great REM song. Mid-80s, I don't know, 85, 6, something like that. Look it up on Wikipedia. Life's Rich Pageant, Fall on Me. Me doing my best imitation there of Michael Stipe singing REM. And Parker, how about him coming in on that bridge? Well, I would keep it up. Love it. Love it, man. Boy, a lot of quick chord changes in that. It took me forever to play that right. Goodness gracious, just bouncing around from just F, G, C, D minor, goodness gracious. Ah! But we got it down, man. We got it down. Just don't ask me to play it live. I probably wouldn't be able to pull it off. So Fall on Me, great stuff. Hey, before I go any further, last week I kept talking about our live recording November 5th in Corpus. Yikes! Make that December. You hear what I just said? That is December 5th. I'm sorry, December 3rd. Get it straight, Phil. No, that's the first Saturday in December. December 3rd. Cool and crisp. So mark that. I said November 5th last episode. So you got plenty of time. You have even more time than you thought to prepare yourself, to plan your trip, to book your hotel rooms, to descend upon the city of Corpus Christi for recording the live album part two, Phil Pritchett and the Full Band. You know, the first part of it was hot and steamy in August. This will be cool and breezy. December 3rd, first Saturday in December. Mark it down. Be there. Well, we're going to play this one. We played this one last week, but it bears repeating again. I think it might be the first track on my EP. We haven't put them in order yet. But check it out. Once again, if you missed it last week, we'll play this for you. Once more, our old friend from Fables of the Reconstruction, Phil on lead vocal, Driver 8. Check it out. Because you are enlightened souls who listen to the P2 podcast, you are enjoying absolute exclusivity by listening to these tracks from the REM EP with Rodney Parker exclusively here on the P2 podcast before I've even burned a copy of it out of you. You're listening to it off the same machine it's been mixed on. just transferred over to my iTunes and dragged down into the podcast here for you to listen to. It hasn't even existed in CD form yet. It hasn't been mailed out of this room. That's how exclusive it is. So, we hope you've enjoyed these samples, these little sneak peeks at the EP coming out soon. Of course, you can design the EP yourself. We're having a contest for the cover. Enter as many times as you like. I've had a couple guys say, well, I don't know what design to submit. I'm like, man, submit them all. We're just going to pick the best design. It doesn't matter who did it or how many times or whatever. So send it in. Email it to phil@philpritchard.com. We'll pick a winner. We'll send you all kinds of fun stuff, free stuff. Put your name on the record, etc. So have fun doing that. Send it in. We'd love to see what you have to think about this album. Well, we're going to fade out here with some more lilting Irish flute music. Weird Phil stuff that he does when it's dark and he's in the studio. So we're just going to fade off here in the podcast. Yes, yes. Some soft instrumental music here. We do all kinds of stuff here at Trinidad World Recording. Have a great week, folks. We will be back here next week on the P2 Podcast with more insight and enlightenment for you out there. Email us any thoughts you have, questions, subjects to be discussed. phil@philpritchard.com. And as always, come record here at Trinidad World Recording Studios. 817-733-5256. Y'all have a great week out there, fans. Much tougher.